It's good to be in the beautiful state of California. California District, with your fine superintendent, Brother Price, all the fine presbyters, all of the wonderful ministers of this great district, the saints of God. Above all, we're happy for the presence of God that we feel here tonight. Amen. We're also happy to have the fine Bible teacher, Brother Stevens, our fellow minister from Texas. I'm sure he has many things that will arrest your attention and cause you to walk closer to the Lord. Shall we remain standing, please, for the reading of the Word of God? First, I would like to read to you John 3 and the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 15th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. The Lord bless you. I would like to speak to you for as long as the Lord leads. I would appreciate your prayerful attention. I concur with Brother Price. I would appreciate everybody to remain seated, if at all possible, unless it's an emergency. But I would like to speak to you on a subject that has been very close to my heart. Love the world and love not the world. It is written by the Apostle Paul. It is written rather by the Apostle John, the same author that wrote John 3 and 16, wrote John 2 and 15, 1 John 2 and 15. In one place he says, God so loved the world. In the second place he says, emphatically, love not the world. Of course, I think that we do understand these two scriptures. We do understand that they do correspond. What Jesus meant was simply this: love the world of people. And then in 1 John, what the apostle is saying is, love not the world system. So we must love the world of people, and yet we must hate the world system. I have a feeling that God wants to do something with us tonight. Certainly, I am not trying to place myself as a revivalist to the United Pentecostal Church. But I would like for God to use me in a measure that I can create a desire in your heart to where you would like to revive yourself in the Lord. You know, it's a strange thing. We're always looking for somebody to revive us. And that's impossible. Paul said, Timothy, I'm going to come by your place. I'm going to lay hands on you. But you are going to stir up the gift that is within you. I can't stir it up. I can help you. But you will do your own stirring up. Praise God. And I'm going to be a little bit on the negative side just for a few moments in my introduction. And there is no use me preaching to the Baptist or to the Methodist. I'm going to preach to us. There are certain things about Pentecost that I don't appreciate. And I'm not going to preach on this subject. But I do want to preach on this one thing. We do not love the people of this world. There is a spirit about the average Pentecostal child of God that is very selfish. And it's very inward. And if we do have a great glaring fault, it is our neglect of a lost and dying world. Praise God. I want you to know that if there is anything that causes me to become angry with my local assembly, is the way that my people treat the visitor as he walks into the sanctuary. I can't believe it. Neither can I understand the carelessness and the lack of interest and the lack of love, if you please, to the outsider that is seeking the sanctuary and the peace of God in his heart through the people of the Lord. Jesus says, love the people of this world. But our attitude is an attitude of neglect and indifference. And if I may be more vehement, it is hate. Hallelujah. It's a very strange thing that when an outsider walks into our assembly, that we look at them as though they are intruders. We look at them as though they do not belong there. And if they do not look as we think they should, then we look at them with disdain and with criticism until the outsider feels as though they have chosen the wrong church. It's an amazing thing to me. I told you I was going to start with negativeness. That when the service is dismissed, that the average child of God in the sanctuary turns their back on our guests and they go to that man or that woman that they gossiped with all day long on the telephone. Praise God. And they continue their discussion. Upon dismissal, we never think about that man and that woman that sought our church for help. Hallelujah. We think it all belongs to the man of God, the pastor, that he has to run. And sometimes as I run towards the back of the sanctuary, the saints are reaching for me. And I have to say, please wait. We have some guests that we must go entertain and speak to. Praise God. We need to get away from our self-centeredness. Oh yes, we need to think about others besides ourselves. Praise God. And I'm so tired of churches advertising themselves as a friendly church. What do you mean a friendly church? What have you done by being friendly? Nothing. The world is not looking for friendliness. The Chevrolet house says they are friendly. The salesman is very friendly towards you, especially if you buy a car. The bank is very friendly if you have good credit. We even have friendly undertakers. And I am tired of the church advertising itself as a friendly church. We must go beyond that point. We need to start loving the world. Hallelujah. We need to love the world with a Holy Ghost love. And we must show them as they walk into the sanctuary of the God that we love them. Praise God. I had a Pentecostal couple, mind you, move to Dallas. And, of course, they were visiting several churches to make up their mind which church to make their home church. And I made up my mind that they were going to come to my church. And the first time I went to their home, they said, "Brother Kershaw, you certainly are very friendly. You're very kind. But we feel real strange in your church. We feel like nobody cares." They said, "People don't hardly talk to us." And I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about other Pentecostals. The same faith. Walking into our church and our people not caring enough about them to even shake their hands. Hallelujah. I know you're guilty of it. I know you are. Oh yes, you've never said the words, "I don't care." I know that you don't, because your action speaks louder than words. Praise God. Praise God. For God so loved the world. Oh, my Lord have mercy.
Yes.
You want me to get on with my sermon, and I will.
It's all right.
But I'm not through with this.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I made up my mind. I'm not going to sermonize. I'm going to preach. Praise God. Amen. If I can just get you to start thinking in the right channels. Praise God. And I went to that couple's house. I raked my church over the coals. I said, "If you dare turn and talk to somebody that is not an outsider, I'm going to rebuke you openly." They thought I was joking. I announced one night when we had a house full of visitors. I said, "Now, church, don't you dare shake hands with the guests, because they're liable to love God if you do. Neglect the guests. Turn your back on them. Come talk to your friends. Let the guests all go to hell." Oh, friend, the church froze. And you can imagine how the guests felt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Your church will be revolutionized if you will walk in there. And don't be fictitious. Don't put on. Don't imitate anybody. Just be your kind, loving, Holy Ghost-filled self. Hallelujah. And let them feel that you are interested, that you care, that you are happy that they've chosen your church to worship the Lord in, you will see a spiritual revolution in your assembly, because people, they respond to love. They respond to love. Hallelujah. I almost had to kill some folks in my church. I mean, kill them dead. I believe in holiness as strong as anybody. But when they walk in the church and get the Holy Ghost, they know nothing about holiness. And I've got some women that don't pray 3 seconds a month. But they look right. They look right. But their spirit is wrong. And if there is any ruckus in my church, I know who causes it. I go to them just like a duck on a June bug. Hallelujah. And you let somebody come in and get the Holy Ghost, and they've got green hair and black fingernail polish and look like Jezebel, and they're still talking in tongues and hugging everybody. They even give me a hug once in a while. Hallelujah. And here comes, sister. This black fingernail polish gotta go. And thank God one night I caught her. Hallelujah. I said, sister, it's none of your business. And I said, ma'am, you keep it on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. God did not appoint you to be a standard bearer in your church. You're supposed to love them. Hallelujah. And God has given a church a pastor. And that pastor will lead them. And God has given that pastor the wisdom. Hallelujah. To deal with them in love. Praise God. My Lord of mercy. Man, some poor darling walked in. She didn't have enough clothes. It was dangerous. My God. I don't know what color her hair was. Red with streaks of something else. She looked atrocious. She had earrings hanging down. I don't know sometimes how they can move their heads. The earrings are so heavy. But she was hungry for God. Hallelujah. We weren't in church 15 minutes. She stepped out in the aisles, raised her hands, and began to speak in that heavenly language. Praise God. We baptized her in Jesus' name. 3 of her children received the Holy Ghost, were baptized in Jesus' name. Huh. She came to church Wednesday night, and she looked just like she did Sunday night when she got the Holy Ghost. But in the meantime, I had a saints meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's wrong with a lot of our saints? They're not strong enough. When you have a lot of new converts that are still not up to our Pentecostal standards, we have a lot of saints that instead of standing straight and tall and hanging straight for their conviction, they start to lean towards the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what the new convert needs to do? Not a word should be spoken. They need to look at the church and let the church be their example. Hallelujah. Your new converts will become what you are. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, that woman cleaned up, but she had 2 little earrings she decided to wear. It almost took a magnifying glass to see them. I'll never know why she wore them. But she did. I never opened my mouth. Call me a compromiser if you want. About 3 months later, I looked and they were gone. I said, Vicky, they're gone, aren't they? She said, yes, sir. And she said, thank you for being patient with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I refuse to be called a compromiser. I loved the soul of that woman in the Holy Ghost. And I wanted her saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love the world of people. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a put on. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. And let people know that you really do love them. Hallelujah. Hilamakandaramashatamaha. Glory to God. Well, I better change the subject here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love not the world. Now we have capitalized on the do's and the don'ts of the world, and we have capitalized on outside standards of holiness. And I believe in all of that. But there is something that is more sinister. There is something that is more subtle here. There is something that is more deceiving. It's the spirit of the world. It's the world system. And there are three avenues that Satan has brainwashed the world with. And I'm sorry to say, it is slowly creeping into the church. And I want to preach to you, first of all, on the misconception of love and lust. There is such a tremendous danger in our Pentecostal circle that we would fall for the same deceptive trap that many have fallen into. And many times we think that the spirits that we are fighting today are new, and they are new only to us. And that's not true. We're living in a day when there are more young couples living together without the benefit of the marriage ceremony than those that are married. We are living in a day when there is no shame. We are living in a day where sexual immorality is accepted. It is almost condoned. And we think that this is a new spirit, but it is not. As I was praying over this message, I was asking God to give me a Bible character that misconceived, that his mind was deceived, that did not understand the difference between love and lust. And to my surprise, God placed Samson on my mind. And it gave me such a scary feeling, Brother Price, because I think of his birth. I think of his heritage. I think of what he was born into. Separated, apart, consecrated, a child of a holy vow before God, a man with a prestigious spiritual position in the household of faith. But there was a glaring weakness in the life of Samson. He was called to love the people. He was called to be a prophet unto the people. But instead of loving, there was that glaring weakness in his character. He lusted I wonder why. You listen to me tonight. It is impossible. And you hear me clear and loud. I don't care who you are. It doesn't make any difference to me how long you've had the Holy Ghost. It doesn't make any difference to me how good you can stand and speak behind the pulpit. I'm here to tell you, it is impossible to lay your head in Delilah's lap and still love as you should love in the Holy Ghost. When you lay your head in Delilah's lap, the love that should have been in your heart shed abroad through the Holy Ghost turns quickly and becomes lust, and it will destroy you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am fearful because we are losing too many in our ranks. Saints and preachers alike. And the reason we are losing them, because there is a spirit of accepting the compromises of the world system. And the Bible says, love not the world system. I cannot and should not feel comfortable with the world system. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that we can build gigantic churches without laying our head in Delilah's lap. Hallelujah. I have had such a fearful spirit. I have spoken not only to young ministers, but I have spoken to older ministers too that are beginning to doubt. Some of our convictions are necessary. I'm not here, friend, to tell you that they are necessary. I am here to tell you there is no other way. Without these convictions, we will never be ready to meet God in peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Let me tell you, I realize that we are being pressured by the world. I know we're being pressured. But others have been pressured. And they stood the test. Hallelujah. 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 My Lord. I want to tell you something. We preach against women so much. We line women up so much. Be sure you don't cut your hair. Be sure you watch your dress. What about the men? Hallelujah. I'm so tired of our young people. Why, some of those young men, they look like girls. Hallelujah. Honest to God, I believe that some of them, they must go home and embroider their shorts. Dear God, they've got lace on their britches. They are sissies. Let me tell you something, Pentecostal girl. You'll be better off if you've never married than marry one of those sissies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need our men to look like men. Praise God. They need to be men. They need to talk like men. They need to walk like men. They need to think like men. They need to preach like men. Hallelujah.
I'm going to get started here.
Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. We've got too many it's. We need he's and she's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what that is? That is the spirit of homosexuality. That's what it is. Oh, yes. And it's an abomination in the sight of God. I don't care what the governor of California says. God says it's an abomination. It's a sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The world may accept it, but we're not. Praise God. But he's cute. He has such a nice lisp. My God. Love not the world system. And it's very easy to switch from love to lust. Where are you going, Samson? I'm going down to Timnath. I'm going down to Gaza. And when a child of God begins to gravitate towards the world, he's going down. He is going down. And it won't be long when your head is in the lap of Delilah. And friend, the world knows how to croon to you. You handsome hulk, you. Oh, you pretty little thing, you. Oh, your sweet darling. I've dreamed all of my life of meeting someone like you. But you're not in the church, but oh, just give me time. After you marry me, I'll go to the altar. He's a liar. He's lying to you. Hallelujah. And our young men, we have the most beautiful girls in the world. And our young men are so ignorant. Oh, yes. They go out into the world looking for girls that only God knows how they've lived. I'm telling you, friend, it's a sin to look outside the household of faith for your partner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Samson, let me feel your muscles one more time. I better not bend my arm. I'm liable to burst my shirt. Hallelujah. Come on, Samson, let me see your biceps. Woo! Man, look at your curly hair, baby. Ooh, my, Samson. I like your black flashing eye. Cut your eyes at me one more time. Oh, yeah, that makes my spine tingle, Samson. I love you, baby. Ooh. Delilah, I've never heard such beautiful words. You can really excite me, honey. Yeah. Samson, how come you've got so much strength? I've been tempting you now for days. How come you're so strong? Let me tell you what the world wants. It wants to destroy you. You hear me? The world wants to destroy you. Did you hear me? The world wants to destroy you. When Naomi left Bethlehem, she was devastated and destroyed because she left the house of bread and went to the Moabites. When the prodigal son left home, you know why he left home? Because the rules in the house were too astringent. And we have a lot of people now that can't take the rules of the house. Hallelujah. And please believe me, friend, there is a church designed to your liking. But you better be sure that that church is preaching this one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, and holiness message. Hallelujah. 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 And then when we see him ultimately, there he is like a beast with his eyes put out. The first thing that happens to you when you place your head in Delilah's lap is you lose your spiritual eyesight and you lose your sense of direction. And then the pitiful cry, let me feel your presence one more time. One more time. Don't destroy your life. Bigger people than you have been destroyed because they loved the world system. No, your pastor hasn't lost his mind. No, your pastor's not too hard. Oh no, he's just preaching the word of God that will keep you saved. For thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. I don't want to preach too long tonight, but I feel something burning in my heart. We need a revolution in Pentecost. We need our thinking changed. We're going in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we were designed to worship, and we were designed to holiness, and we were designed to separatedness, and nothing else will work for us. Hallelujah. Then the second thing. I'm going to use the word materialism. But it's not just things. Because everybody knows it's not in things. But I want to take you to a few days before the crucifixion. There was a strange feeling in Jerusalem. A very strange feeling. Jesus said, I've set my face as a flint. I'm going to Jerusalem. The apostles were perplexed. There was an oppressive atmosphere in Jerusalem. The pressure was on. Jesus was sitting in a room with men. Now, if you know the Middle Eastern customs, even today, the Arabs in the villages, men and women just do not sit in the same room. And if you visit in their home to be entertained, the women go to one room and the men go to the other. Even now. It is very unbecoming. It is very rude. It is against the Middle Eastern custom for a woman to walk in a room full of men. But it was a strange feeling in Jerusalem. And there was a woman that was feeling that pressure in a very special way. She went to her house and she looked at her alabaster box for a long time. It was not a careless decision. That decision was not made on the spur of the moment. But the woman felt the pressure. She felt that strange atmosphere. And some way, she had a witness in her heart that something tragic was going to happen to the man called Jesus. She goes to her closet. She goes to where her life's earnings were hid. She takes it. She places that in her shawl. And she begins to inquire about where Jesus was. And she finds him in a room full of men. All of her upbringing, her raising, her Middle Eastern customs, all of her tradition said, you can't go in there. But she was being pressured. She felt her need of giving Jesus her all and her very best. Hallelujah. And she decided, I can't. I refuse to allow tradition to control me. I must give Jesus my best. No other woman would dare do it. It's wrong. Everybody remains away from the company of men. But there was a violence of faith that rose within that woman. And she couldn't care less what anybody would have said. And she walked into the room full of men. And she kneels at the feet of Jesus. And she begins to sob and worship as she anoints his feet with her all with her love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there stood an apostle. And there stood an apostle. And he looked at that beautiful scene of sacrifice, great sacrifice. And he says, what a waste. What a waste. Because she placed God first in her life. I'm not being critical tonight, but the price, I love the California district. I'm not preaching just to your district. I'm preaching to Pentecost. I'm preaching to my church. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to every place that I'm invited to preach. There is that same spirit of materialism that is keeping us from giving God our very best. And it's the Pentecostal circle. It's the Pentecostal saints of God that are refusing to see the essentiality and the importance of giving God their all and their very best. Hallelujah. And I don't mean just money. I would to God it was just money. It's so much easier to write a check than go to a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know how Pentecostal people act? You pastors can verify this. Have you been to a hospital room and somebody was really sick and you prayed with them? And do you know what they say, Brother Kershaw? When I come out of this hospital, I'm going to start visiting everybody that's in the hospital. And so help me God, they forget that statement and they never go see anybody in the hospital. You're too busy. Doing what? How long has it been since you've had a burden to nurse somebody into the church and love their soul until they get the Holy Ghost, and not turn them loose, teach them a home Bible study, take them out to lunch, invite them to your home, be a real concerned child of God, a real soul winner? How long has it been since you've cared about somebody else but yourself? My Lord, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the world system that's trying to destroy us. Hallelujah. 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 They look at these beautiful young men. They say, son, what are you preparing to be? A preacher. I was working at the Hillcrest Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the record room while I was going to Bible school. And more than once, I worked after the offices were closed, and I was in charge of the record room where if somebody was very ill, before they would administer any kind of medicine, they would call me to check their file to see if they were allergic to anything. And many a doctor has walked into the file room. And when we were through, they'd say, John, what are you doing with your life? I'm going to college, sir. Wonderful. What are you doing? I'm studying to be a preacher. And so help me God, more than one doctor said, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. We are so taken up with the things of the world. We are so taken up with the things of the world, even our Pentecostal thinking is becoming the same way as the world. It's a waste to give God your very best.
It's a waste to give to missions. It's a waste to support your building program. It's a waste to go out in the afternoon and dig a ditch in the church. It's a waste to knock doors. It's a waste to pray. Oh, let me tell you something. Our survival depends on us giving God our very best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The pressure is on. Oh. Whew. I'll never know what it is to give. There is no way I'll ever know what it is to give. There is no way. You know why? Because I've got too much. That's right. I give good, but I'm not giving sacrificially because I've got too much. Hallelujah. And you know what happens to us? The more we've got, the less that we want to depart with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder, Brother Price, if this depression that's being forecast, if it's not of God. I really have been wondering. And let me tell you something. I don't want the depression to come because I'm enjoying living good. But I wonder if that's what it's going to take to get us all where we ought to be. I don't know if you can take it. Can't even get in a gasoline line without getting in a fracas, killing somebody, losing your temper, having a cussing fit. America doesn't know anything yet. What if real depression comes? It may have to come. So you and I may place God first in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and love the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to go home and start loving the people. You know, it's a sad thing that you have to be encouraged to love one another. When the true sign of discipleship is not tongue talking and aisle running. The true sign of discipleship is loving one another. You think you're saved when there is somebody in the church that you will not talk to? Let me tell you, friend, you can talk in tongues 24 hours a day. Unless you love your brother, you'll never love God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to examine yourself and find out if God is first in your life. Then thirdly, first, the misconception of love and lust. Secondly, materialism, where it's not necessary to give God your best. Thirdly, is religious compromise. You know where we're living now? It's not necessary to go to Jerusalem, the Jeroboams of this world is saying. There is no need. There is a more comfortable way to worship God. there is an easier way. There is a way that will suit your human reasoning. After all, why should you go all the way to Jerusalem? That's not necessary. It's a hard trip. It's an expensive journey. We will have us two calves. One in Dan, one in Beersheba. We'll worship the same God. We'll offer the same sacrifices. Whew. Hallelujah. We'll go through the same ritual. We'll do the same religious forms. It'll all be the same. But you just don't go to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That's where we're living now. Hallelujah. Come on. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name. Come on. Yes, sir. If that's what you want, we'll baptize you any way you want to. Let me tell you something. If you're a charismatic, I love your soul. And if you're a minister here that still are trying to deal with them, I encourage you to go ahead. You may be successful. I have never met a successful man yet dealing with charismatics. Someone says they don't get the same Holy Ghost. Some of them do. But because they don't come out, they are quickly polluted. Let me tell you something. The charismatic movement is placing more pressure on the real church than anybody else in the world. But this is where you will find out what you are made out of. And you high school and grade school children, when you see a girl that looks like the world and acts like the world, but she'll talk in tongues and she's baptized in Jesus' name, you better be careful. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I believe with all of my heart. Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. I believe with all of my heart it is necessary to have a true revelation of the true identity of God Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care how much in tongues they talk, they must have that revelation that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. After they repent, they've got to live a repentant life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when they get the Holy Ghost and they're not separated from their sins, Jesus said, I came to save you from your sins and not in your sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't hate the charismatic person. I hate the charismatic doctrine. Hallelujah. I don't care how much in tongues a person talks. Why, you know, that's a false measurement. The Pentecostal people are deceived. Listen to me. You will have an argument with somebody in the church, and you have hard feelings towards them, and you go to church, and you go to the altar, and you talk in tongues, and after the service, you still have an ill feeling towards that person. You have not prayed through. I don't care how much tongue talking you did. You have not prayed through. Don't just look at the charismatic. You look at yourself. Hallelujah. Friend, I'm preaching to somebody in this building tonight. Praise God. You injure somebody. You molest somebody's character. You talk about them like a dirty dog. You go to church. You shed a few tears. Then you talk in tongues. That's eternal security for the Pentecostal church. I've talked in tongues. Everything is all right. No, sirree. You better repent. If you steal my horse, after you repent, please bring my horse back to me. Hallelujah. And I don't care how much in tongues you talk. If you still got my horse, you have not repented. Oh, you'd shout more if I was preaching on standards of holiness, but I'm digging you deeper than that tonight. I'm digging the place that if it's right, everything else will be right in your life. My God, I knew I was wild tonight, but I didn't know I was quite this wild. Whew. Hallelujah. Praise God. We go to church and we go, I'm all right. Oh, no, you're not all right. How's your spirit? How's your heart? Hallelujah. Is everything right between you and God? That dido didn't fix nothing. You know when I cut a dido? When I've got real victory. That's when I cut a dido. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason I shout, because I've got the victory. I don't shout to get it. I shout because I've got it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Ooh-wee. Hallelujah! And man, we Pentecostals are getting so adept at seeing how much like the world we can look. I'll tell you something else God condemned me about. Just because my wife and myself dress right and have good standards, we let the people in the church get by with a lot more. We had special services the other day, and I asked some churches to bring the ushers, some other churches to take this and do that. And so help me God, I looked up at the ushers, and I thought we had some denominal ushers. Now I went to the men. I said, who brought those people from other denominations? Honestly. He said, what? I said, those ushers, those young men. He said, what are you talking about? I said, look at them. We take a search warrant to find their ears. I'm talking the most extreme I've ever seen. I'm not talking about half an inch over their ears. I'm talking about no ears at all. And it was bob like a girl. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Didn't know whether we had girl ushers or boy ushers. I had to apologize to my church. I did. Because I didn't want my young people to think I had the okay on it. And I tell you, everybody in my church is not all right. But I grant you one thing, I'm working on it. Hallelujah. I'm working on it. And I'm not going to run them off because that's not all right. If I run them off, they'll never be saved. I want them there working on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to know this one thing, and I'll confess to you right now, that in my 24 years of pastoring a church, I've tried both ways. I've got soft. One time I remember getting so soft, I thought to myself, my God, you are almost rotten. You take an apple and let it get soft. Let a banana get soft. Ugh. And I thought, man, I'll just take it easy and I won't preach anything to bother anybody. And my church was going down, down, down. No revival spirit. Nobody getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I woke up to the fact, my God, Pentecost wasn't designed for softness and weakness. It was designed for the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Let's forget the words unto salvation. Just think about the words, the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And salvation is a part of it, but not all of it. It's the power of God to keep you saved after you're saved. Hallelujah. And I changed back. Whew. And I've never been sorry. Hallelujah. 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 But I'll tell you one thing tonight. I thank God not only for ministers that preach the truth, but for saints that will accept it and obey it and live it. Hallelujah. Love not the world. Love the world. Hallelujah. Next time someone walks into your church doors, be sure to turn your back at them. Wow, you know, sometimes the song leader gets excited and he says, let's everybody shake hands with somebody during this song. They'll shake hands with everybody but the visitor. And I have gone down and said, hey, you see those people? Go shake hands with them. This lesson, and I've been preaching like a maniac on that. I've been preaching like a maniac. I've called them everything but saved people. And last Sunday night, there was a beautiful couple sitting there, just received the Holy Ghost, never been in a Pentecostal church before in their life, and my people had their back turned on them. And nobody was talking to them. And friend, I went to some men and said, hey, I mean just rough. I said, see this couple? You go get your wife, and you better be nice to them, or I'm going to work you over. Hallelujah. I'm not exaggerating. And they looked at me. Huh? What are you talking about? My God, I've been preaching for 6 months on the subject. You're talking to me? What visitor? Why, my God, they just got the Holy Ghost. You wonder why they don't come back? You have asked them to leave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, that couple had made up my mind that they were going to come to my church. They did. But because I put everything I had into getting them to come and at the same time apologizing for the ignorance of my people. And that's the very words I use to those people. You're the pastor. So what? It's your church. And it's your responsibility. The pastor is not the only soul winner. That's why you haven't had the joy of the Lord for so long in your heart. Because you've never ministered to anybody.
All right. Oh God.
Let me go just a little longer, will you?
Go ahead.
Praise God. I'm fixing to close. There's something about Pentecost I don't like. Besides being unfriendly to the sinners. My God, what happened to my wire? Hallelujah. We are becoming picayune-ish. Who's preaching tonight? Because if it's Apollos and not Paul, I'm not going. Now, if my pastor don't invite Cephas to come back, I'm leaving church. Hey, I would hate to be an evangelist starting out right now. Oh, brother. Why, Brother Kershaw? Please don't put this baby here tomorrow night. I've been scared 3 times already. And the babysitter's asleep too. Praise God. You know what's wrong? And I say that with kindness. We have forgotten how the pew ought to minister to the pulpit. When I started out, I couldn't preach a lick. I still can't preach a lick. And I'm just trying to be humble. I just turn loose, let her go. And I'm crazy enough to preach what God puts on my mind. Hallelujah. But when I started out, couldn't preach a lick, there were people in that pew, bless him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anoint him, Lord. Hallelujah. And they came to hear me preach when I couldn't preach. And the reason I'm now a preacher, because I was nursed by the anointing that came from the pew. Hallelujah. And we have lost the art of the pew ministering to the pulpit. It's time to wake up. Hallelujah. Why, sure, a beginner can't start. Because when a beginner comes to your church, you don't go to service. And a handful. And the service doesn't go over. It's not his fault. It's yours. We're having a lot of our young preachers quitting, going back to jobs. It's a very dangerous sign because you will not take time to minister to them as they preach. The thought may not be so profound. The way they put their words together may not be so exciting. They may say too many hallelujahs and praise the Lord because they're nervous. But they still have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon their life. They're called of God. And you need to nurture them. Hallelujah. You need to minister to them. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you bless somebody else so God can bless you? Hallelujah. Why, my God, in Dallas on Friday night, if Jesus Christ came to preach for me, there'll be nobody there. It's payday. It's grocery shopping night. It's bath night. I don't like it. I don't like it. Love not the world system, but love the world of people. Shall we stand together? Will you ask God to help you right now? Will you ask God to help us right now? Would you ask God to help us right now? Will you do it right now? Will you ask God to help you right now? Hallelujah. Will you raise your hands right now? Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. Ask God to help us tonight. Ask God to help us right now. How many of you believe I preach the truth tonight? How many believe I preach the truth? You really believe it? You really believe it? Let's ask God to help us one more time right now. Let's ask God to help us right now one more time. Oh, God. Come on, let's ask God to help us right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 I don't want anybody leaving yet, please. You're not dismissed. Nobody's dismissed yet. Nobody's dismissed yet. I didn't preach to entertain anybody tonight. I preached from my heart. I know this kind of preaching does not make me popular, but it's not popularity I'm seeking. I'm seeking a revolution, a revival, a move of God, a change in the direction we're going. Hallelujah. 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 If I could just change the thinking of 24 people in this assembly tonight, I feel like I've been a success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We don't need anything else. We've got everything that we need. We just got to put it into action. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. And it will keep us alive. You believe that? Let's sing it. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. Do you believe that tonight? Come on, let's just wave our hands to the Lord right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before we sing tonight, lay hands on your partner's shoulder. If you're a man, lay hands on another man. Your wife, you girls, lay hands on each other. Let's pray one for another right now. Come on, everybody. Let's pray one for another right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do something to me, Lord. Do something to me, Lord, tonight. Do something to me, Lord. Do something to me, Lord. Do it to me, Lord, tonight. Do it to me, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. Do it to me, Lord, tonight. Do something to me, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You need to free your pastors. Free them. Quit troubling them. Pray through on your own. Be strong in the Lord. Instead of being nursed, nurse somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn your pastor free. Let him preach the gospel unfettered. Let him care for the lost and the dying. Praise God. Say, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. Work out your own salvation.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It's the Holy Ghost and fire. He'll keep you prayed through and excited and loving Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody.
It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Yeah, keeping me alive. Yeah, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Well, Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's down in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Yeah, keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's down in my feet, and it's keeping me alive.
Hallelujah!
Well, Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Yeah, keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Well, Jesus is keeping me alive.